Esoteric Research Organization.
Hero paranormal, always setting up the pace, man. Crop circle tipping,
Illuminati still tripping,
making those ears perk up, gonna make you question your earth.
You better.
Mystery bloodlines and secret society, creepy shapeshifter sitters come sit beside me.
Yeah, go feel that.
Swords with all these spiral,
acting like UFOs.
So we put space wolf, tiptoe through the dark, third eye blinding, tune in and blast off, blast off.
Blast off, baby.
Blast off.
Blast off on another epic episode of the Hyper Anomalous Esoteric Research Organization podcast, also known as Hero Paranormal. My name is Ryan, the Anomalous Ambassador of the Airwaves, bringing you an epic episode today. And here we go again. We have some interesting things taking place. And one of those things is what really happened at spacewolfresearch.com recently. We had an array of lights which literally retained formation, for lack of a better word. They were seen flying not only from east to west, but then looping around and flying back towards the east. They basically came down within, 5 meters of the ground at one point. And this is interesting because we have a project that is being assisted by another group, another research organization, affiliates. And it just happened to take place nearing the end of that project. So the timing was perfect, but we did capture something very interesting in something that hopefully I can talk about soon. And that project may be extended to as much as 30 days. If we see any other instances of this high strangeness coming that close in proximity to Space Wolf Research. Now, many of you are familiar with spacewolfresearch.com and the research that goes on there. There's a little, basically a property, a ranch. It's not that little, I guess, but yeah, a ranch known as Space Wolf that we utilize in accordance with principles that we've set down using different research methods to anticipate anomalies. And we often work with other investigators and research organizations to go over that data. And yeah, kind of an interesting thing this weekend, something that I had to touch base on, but it's not the first time, of course. We've seen this type of thing in the past, and that leads me to something else, which is those who have seen dog-headed men in the Uinta Basin of Utah, and some conversations that I had with people who had heard stories of dog-headed men and wanted to know about a rumor making the rounds that I, Ryan, had done the invocation of Thoth at Space Wolf Research. You know, they were expecting me to say, no, I hadn't. Well, no, yeah, absolutely. I have 100%. I'm fully transparent. I have done the invocation of Thoth. So let's get into that. Doesn't matter why former researchers were telling people about this. The important thing is, hey, it got out. That's fine. As many of you know, I say prayers before I go on the property. And the invocation of Thoth is more of a data collection invocation. Sounds crazy, I know, but we're going to get into all that. Check it out. Let's get into details here. Why would anyone do this? How did it get around? Doesn't matter. Why would anyone do this? Well, people have seen humans with the heads of dogs. And so, speaking of interesting, I've been given kind of a hard time by people. And this is because they found out through other researchers that I had read the invocation of Thoth upon arriving at spacewolfresearch.com. I have not denied this. This is true. As I've told many, I pray before going on the property. And in many cases, I have read the invocation of Thoth. I don't know which researcher actually came forward to this. It doesn't really matter because I'm 100% transparent. A lot of people have said, why? You know, they view Thoth or Thoth or Hermes Trismegistus, which is quite literally, you know, been assimilated as the same entity. Why would you read this? Well, let's get into the history. As many know, the Hero Paranormal Podcast, HERO stands for the Hyper Anomalous Esoteric Research Organization podcast. And researching the esoteric and the hyper anomalous, the reality comes to fruition that there is an association with dog-headed men, dogmen, skinwalkers, and of course, Thoth, Thoth, or Hermes Trismegistus. Now, you're probably thinking, this sounds far-fetched. Well, bear with me. Hermes Trismegistus, the same guy who Cat Williams recently spoke about on the Joe Rogan podcast, who he claims many of the elites worship, and there's a reason they do. It's because a lot of these teachings of his have to do with knowledge. Well, the Greek god Hermes was often equated with Anubis. That's right, here we go again with a dog-headed man. Shapeshifter of sorts, chimera if you will, but Anubis is, of course, a man's body, the Egyptian god Anubis, a man's body with the head of a dog or a jackal. Now, they were both gods, meaning Hermes and Anubis, both gods of the dead, and considered messengers of the gods. Now, this association is interesting because Greek and Egyptian cultures eventually intertwined. Their language, their literature, their art, and Hermes and Anubis are often depicted as one and the same. So, if you want to understand something or another about an area where people have seen dogs with the bodies of men, or men with the heads of dogs, in some cases, as depicted by George Knapp in Hunt for the Skinwalker and Colm Kelleher, reports of these dog-headed men actually standing on the roadsides and smoking cigarettes, then it's probably a good idea to recognize, at least esoterically, this association of Anubis. Now, Anubis is also symbolized with the underworld associated with death, and Egyptians believed that the dead needed their mouths to be opened in order to speak and eat in the afterlife. That, of course, has changed in modern times. But Anubis was often referred to as the quote-unquote opener of the way, showing you the path. And Hermes Trismegistus, of course, is a god of knowledge. So if you want to understand things in an area where literally there have been reports, even on my property, Space Wolf Research, neighbors have reported seeing men with the heads of dogs, shapeshifters, if you will, skinwalkers, if you want to understand what's going on, it might not hurt to at least associate the two, meaning Hermes Trismegistus, Thoth or Thoth, and why the invocation of Thoth or Thoth is, depending on how you say it, both are correct, actually, but why the invocation of this entity is probably a safe ritual. There it is, spelled out, drawn out, you know, nothing weird, just what it is. So moving on in other aspects, there has been a warning that there will be something big. The wealth window will be closing March 8th, 2024. I've talked about this with other researchers. They think I'm crazy, but the truth is out there and I'm going to spill the beans. It is true. March 8th, the banks have to settle up with a bunch of their disclosures, their debts, etc., etc. Gosh, can't talk today. March 8th, 2024. In addition, there will be a coming banking and economic collapse in the minds of many economists. They believe this is actually true. Keep in mind, the government has somewhat admitted there is some issues with the inflation data. Now, if there's anything that can basically lend any truth to all this is the fact that Bitcoin is soaring. And if this rug pull, this financial rug pull, this economic, you know, rug pull beneath our feet can say anything about what's going to take place in the future, I can say maybe crypto is the way to go, or tangible assets. Go figure, nothing in the middle, right? No gray areas. Go tangible or go all the way intangible with non-fungible. But I'm not an economic powerhouse. I am no economist. I'm not a financial advisor, so don't take my word for it. Just look into the research itself and what people are alleging online. Among those alleging this is that there will be, in fact, a economic wealth window closed March 8th, 2024. It's also been called a rug pull. And what's strange is this admission, more or less, allegedly, of the government saying that it has rigged inflation data. Now, why would they do that? Well, Jerome Powell will be testifying this week, Wednesday, and again on Thursday. You don't have to hear both days. He'll be saying the same thing. So keep an eye on what he says Wednesday. It's going to be big news. Jerome Powell will be testifying 7 a.m. Pacific time before Congress, and they're going to be hard on him. Now, keep in mind, nobody is really doing their job when it comes to this stuff, but they're going to be extremely hard on him, acting as if he's not doing his job, trying to find somebody to blame anything on. Now, take that with a grain of salt. Watch it yourself and tell me what you guys think when it comes out. So for my fellow podcasters, researchers, and investigators, as well as partners who like to play around with Wall Street and crypto and everything else, keep an eye on March 8th, 2024. It is my personal belief that a wealth window of sorts will be closing. All that means is that people won't have as much dispensable income, or at least they won't be as likely, in my opinion, to spend their money afterwards. Why? Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll hear some stuff that will say, you know, maybe kind of batten the hatches a little bit, save a little more money. Now, this is hard because, hey, this has been a rough month for me. I've currently got a dog in the hospital. It's costing ridiculous amounts per day, over $1,000 a day to keep him there. And he's been in there, whew, yeah, let's see here, about 10 days. It's been brutal. Not to mention he's had a surgery, add that to the tally, and all kinds of different complications. Probably not going to make it. But then again, my wife and I have decided we're bringing the dog home tomorrow morning. We're going to take good care of him, try to treat him holistically as much as possible, and leave the rest up to the universe. So I'm pretty much tapped out. Doesn't really matter what I decide to do because I got no money to save. I got no money to spend. And but I think it's important that we keep an eye on what's happening, at least this in this nation economically. You know, the Fed is a very interesting agency, if you want to call it that, or group. And Jerome Powell is going to say some things that are going to shock some people. So keep an eye out for that. That's just my initial preliminary belief. I know I've got a lot of friends that are saying, oh yeah, people say there's going to be bad times coming all the time. What's your proof, Ryan? Well, I've heard a few other things, but I'm not going to come out with everything. All I can say is that the 8th, of this week, that would be Friday, is going to be very important. And the 6th this week, with this testimony of Jerome Powell before Congress, is going to be very important. And people I've talked to in the know, who know a lot more than I do, have said that March will be the closing of the wealth window, whatever that means. So again, I'm not an economic advisor. I am not a guru. This is just stuff I've gleaned off of, people that know a lot more than me. So do your own research, but it might not be a bad time to save a little money, right? I mean, it's never a bad time to save money. So at least I know I can't go wrong telling people, hey, just try saving a little money for a rainy day. I wish I had some to save myself. I don't, but hey, if I did, I would probably try saving a little money for a rainy day. Moving on, there's also been a lot of interesting developments as to whether the Tesla robot, I know people that have put in orders, I have not, to purchase one of these, and they say that these things will be taken over, life as we know it, in 2024. It's kind of wild. That's this year. So let's see if there's any truth to that. We know Tesla does all kinds of wild things. Elon is at the, you know, front of a lot of research, a lot of interesting things that come to market. I've had the opportunity to see a Tesla Cybertruck within about 12 inches, and they're cool, man. They're very cool. Let's see what the Tesla bot has going for it and why the Tesla bot might change the world as we know it in 2024. I think 2024 is going to hold a lot of implications. We have Vladimir Putin basically warning NATO. I guess NATO is getting prepared to somewhat help Ukraine, like with physical soldiers and physical appearances in this battle. And Putin has basically said in so many words, bring it on, but I highly recommend you don't get involved because so far it's a proxy war. But if NATO gets physically involved against Russia, you will then be our enemy. And more or less, he's saying, expect whatever comes down the pipe. And let's face it, nobody's got a bigger pipe than Russia when it comes to nuclear warheads. So I am in no way, shape, or form affiliated with NATO. I don't know what they're thinking. But if I were NATO, I probably would not step foot on that battlefield. This is going to unfold in a very interesting way. Don't want to get political, but it's going to be interesting. On the Utah front, because, I mean, let's face it, the Utah front has some of the coolest things going on. It is getting a little warmer this spring. Had the blessing to get some work done out at Space Wolf Research, including paving the path forward, especially at night, to be able to jump from one portion of the property to the other with ease and agility and quickness. I'll get more into that. But bottom line is, things are getting done up there. So what's it going to lead to? Well, a lot of things, but let's talk about something going on in the basin, which has tentacles that lead to the basin and to a lab, a research laboratory, which formerly was known as The Lake. If you guys remember, a group called, or it was a company, I guess, called InterNASA, things get really interesting. Last week, Joe Firmage, the brains behind InterNASA, was basically charged with trying to shake down an elderly woman in her 80s. There's some charges, some allegations there. I'm not going to go into them. This came out in a variety of forms, but it came across my desk, and it seems interesting because he's also facing some federal stuff having to do with a Ponzi scheme involving, well, a few interesting players. Hal Putoff was involved. Of course, we have Kit Green. Bob Kiviat is really angry about it all, and he's suing, I believe, the government, as well as some in this group, specifically Joe Firmage. And then there were some interesting investors who were also involved with this. Among those, many of you are familiar with the wealthy Marriott family. There was a Marriott who was involved in investing. And of course, the current owner of the old Sherman Ranch was an investor and claims to have lost a significant amount of money in this endeavor. So there's a lot of people that became unhappy with whatever took place with InterNASA. So InterNASA is very interesting as well because InterNASA has the same web background as TTSA later. Keep in mind that the TTSA, this was changed since, but when the TTSA first came out, it had the same internet page web background. Now keep in mind TTSA, of course, has Hal Putoff involved with that as well. So let's move on. There's been drama with some people involved. Another one involved with the bouncing box, this InterNASA was basically, along with Joe Firmage at the lead of it all, was basically creating this exotic propulsion system, quote-unquote anti-gravity, if you will, allegedly. And it had basically energy implications, much like those that Stephen Greer has talked about in the past, where it is believed that you can get basically this renewable energy situation through some of these propulsion systems, which may be guised as anti-gravity. So what's going on with this? Well, it gets interesting because Ron Pandolfi was involved with this ordeal having to do with Joe Firmage, InterNASA, the whole ordeal. And to what extent, I can't say. However, those unfamiliar with Rand Pandolfi, he has been described as the CIA. Can't talk. Let's try that again. He has been described as the CIA's real-life X-Files Fox Mulder. In other words, he was in charge of the CIA's weird desk, allegedly, which is the real-life X-Files. So when you're talking about intelligence files, this becomes interesting. He has also alleged, or others close to him have alleged, that his wife, known as the quote-unquote princess, may be a human alien hybrid. I know what you're thinking. Sounds crazy. Well, here we go. Robert Kiviat was the producer of the famous Alien Autopsy TV program and many other far-out alien-related programs. He's a heck of a filmographer, if you want to call it that, and he's profited from some pretty high ratings. And he has quite literally had it, because he was involved with this whole deal, some of the individuals and organizations. He's now suing certain individuals and organizations for money that he says they owe him when he worked with this group trying to produce this anti-gravity propulsion system, these high-tech, exotic technologies. So the first person named in the lawsuit is Joseph Firmage. He, of course, made his famous entrance into the Silicon Valley scene at the age of 17. And he founded, well, kind of the first, I guess you would call it, To the Stars TARP type venture with what's called International Space Sciences Organization, ISSO, in 1999. That only lasted a little bit of time. Then we went into the InterNASA stuff. Bottom line is that he's not a dumb guy. So this is the same guy, Firmage, who was just charged last week with trying to, allegedly, I should say, shake down this elderly lady in Salt Lake City. I won't give her name out. There's no reason for that. However, Firmage was involved in a lot of ventures, many of which were not financially successful. And he had a lot of government connections. So we have Joe Firmage with an anti-gravity device that many believed would work. In fact, they believed it might bring faster than light travel, anti-gravity, and a bunch of other things. So Pandolfi was sort of involved with this, as was some of the other names I've mentioned. Well, soon after Bob Kiviat signed the employment contract with Firmage, Kiviat got to work. He claims he was never paid. So he's suing a bunch of folks involved with that. He even started a GoFundMe page to help his lawsuit, apparently, and to end UFO secrecy. So in his GoFundMe page, this is what it says, and I will read this right off of it. I began talking with a company called InterNASA, directly with its CEO, former Silicon Valley millionaire and entrepreneur Joe Firmage, who told me he was being backed by Ron Pandolfi, the aforementioned top CIA scientist. Firmage also claimed to be on the verge of proving gravity control was a reality. After Firmage had assured my attorney he had secured the necessary operating capital, I accepted a contracted employment position to run the company's news, PR, and overall media division. But when my dedicated work covering many critical aspects of the company's activities went unpaid for many months, and the prototype of this quote-unquote gravity control device stalled in development, I investigated and found out that Pandolfi, who ran something called the CIA's quote-unquote weird desk, has seemingly been orchestrating a disinformation operation all along known as a quote-unquote flytrap scheme, where honest people's skills, talents, and in my case, considerable TV and media experience, are usurped and played with, somewhat maliciously, without any concern for proper financial compensation to those involved. Presently, former Congressman Marriott is only covering, quote unquote, technical improvements on InterNASA's gravity control device, motivated by Pandolfi, with the exception of a $5,000 payment to me, which Marriott's lawyers now claim was just to be nice. Since Pandolfi is essentially the one CIA science officer who's also widely thought to be the keeper of America's most guarded UFO secrets, I decided to file the civil lawsuit to not only receive the substantial contracted employment salary arrears InterNASA currently owes me, which I sorely need, with one teenage son about to enter college and another soon thereafter, but also use the vast power of the court of law as a result of this legal action to get to the bottom of the UFO enigma and what our government actually knows. So interestingly, when he wrote this, Kvyat had raised $320 out of a targeted $250,000, which means, he's on his way, but not completely, right? And many, including myself, hope that Kvyat succeeds in smoking out all the CIA's deep secrets about UFOs. So the update last week is that Joe Firmage was quite literally named in a very interesting situation having to do with allegedly shaking down this elderly woman in Salt Lake City. So what is going to come of that? We don't know. But apparently he was in fact charged, and we'll see where this goes. It's going to be interesting because the SEC interview with Joe Firmage was also quite interesting. Back in 2017, there's a transcript of this interview where a former employee of the Joseph Firmage operated Many One Corporation. Many One also had a background internet page that looked a lot like TTSA, InterNASA, all the rest. So Many One Corporation was another Joseph Firmage operated company, which conducted, it was involved with a lot of this stuff, right? But the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, basically had an interview with this former employee of Joe Firmage. Now, the SEC tells a story of perpetual financial deficiency, questionable methods of managing capital, and off-the-cuff figures given to prospective investors. The transcript was obtained as part of a series of Freedom Information Act requests filed with the SEC and FBI by Expanding Frontiers Research, or EFR. Those records were sought pertaining to corporations maintained by Firmage, known for his longtime antics within the UFO subculture, and more recent announcement as candidate for President of the United States. That's right. And in fact, when he was questioned by those who alleged that he was trying to shake down this elderly lady, he said, you know, I'm running for president. I also have a large, I believe it was $100 million, don't mark my words, but I'm pretty sure, paycheck coming in from the government due to some of these projects. I'll get into more information about that in a minute. Anyway, back to this SEC interview. Now, the name of the former Many One employee who was accompanied by legal counsel during the interview was withheld, as exempt from the disclosure under the Freedom of Information Act. The witness indicated they worked with MANYONE approximately 18 months beginning in June 2012. The interviewer, whose name was also redacted, conducted the examination on behalf of the SEC Salt Lake Regional Office. So a March 2018 post made at the apparent LinkedIn account of Joseph Firmage indicated the SEC informed him of an investigation into MANYONE, LLC. It was completed and no enforcement action would be recommended. A subsequent Freedom of Information Act request obtained January of 2018 also said no enforcement action and confirmed the LinkedIn post to be correct. The 2017 SEC interview and 2018 no enforcement action letter obtained through FOIA goes as such. So anyway, Joseph Firmage basically did not respond to a lot of people questioning him. However, this July 2022 SEC initial FOIA response advised of the existence of voluminous amounts of records potentially responsive to an investigation of MANYONE LLC. 138 boxes of hard copy and electronically maintained records. It was estimated that up to 1,500 hours might be required to search and process the material. A lot of stuff here. So let's get to this. And who exactly is involved? Well, MANYONE was part of a complex network of corporations, the purposes of which were often somewhat ambiguous. It was basically a domestic limited liability company out of Nevada. The inactive directors or officers were as follows. Brandon Fugel, manager. David Mock, manager. Joseph Firmage, manager. And yet another, anyway, among the numerous companies, MANYONE Networks, incorporated in Delaware in January of 2002, another entity by the name of MANYONE Foundation was launched with Corporations Canada in August 2002. Directors included Joseph Firmage. MANYONE LLC was incorporated in Utah in 2011 and reportedly conducted business and sought investors out of Salt Lake City. So it becomes circular jargon as to who was employed, who wasn't, who was a manager, who wasn't. Ultimately, there seemed to be a lot of interesting questions, but it gets more interesting because listening to Firmage talk about his zero-point energy and his Heisenberg's uncertainty principles and quantum foam, it gets almost into the pseudoscience realm, right? Firmage discusses his Mormon upbringing and belief in UFO-friendly narratives, similar to a lot of the stuff that we hear from others. And records obtained from the FBI demonstrate that this MANYONE Networks, at least in its San Jose office, interviewed at least one or possibly two MANYONE Networks employees in December 2008 and January 2009. These records are heavily redacted, which makes you wonder if there is something going on with the government. But many of the names are also withheld. I get it. And in all fairness, a lot of these people want to be involved with these companies that are trying to go into these fringe areas of science. I don't blame anybody for being involved with this. Nobody. I get why Bob Kiviat was involved. I get why Brandon Fugel was involved. I get why Hal Puthoff was involved. I get why Kit Green was involved. I get why a lot of these major players are involved, even Pandolfi. However, things are starting to get strange with this recent last week's deal with this elderly woman claiming that the allegations that he's trying to shake her down. Well, it makes me wonder, is he out of money, right? Is he out of money? Well, it seems so, but who am I to judge? Okay, so let's concentrate on Ron Pandolfi and what is actually taking place. Is he really the CIA's weird desk? Well, real-life Fox Mulder, right? Well, apparently, some claim he is. And there was a WikiLeaks on the global intelligence files where basically global intelligence company Stratfor was disseminated. And there was some confidential intelligence stuff that got out. Here's what we have. We have the following. Is Ron Pandolfi the CIA's real-life X-Files? One man, and one man alone, appears to occupy the best possible position to promote or look or probe into facts, fantasies, and fallacies behind the real-life X-Files or Weird Desk, including UFOs, alien visitors, spies, lies, and polygraph tape. That man is Ron Pandolfi. According to official records released by the CIA, it's been going on since 1953. According to, well, legend, of course, it started summer of 1947. So, is it this gentleman, the CIA's Ron S. Pandolfi, who in the latter half of 2006 forwarded a series of emails discussing a possible violation of national security involving internet tales of extraterrestrial visitations? Some claim it is, and they allege that the messages provided by Pandolfi tied together several threads aimed at government disclosure of an alleged phenomenology problem. I love that term. And this raised disturbing new questions about the methods. A CIA analyst is what Ron Pandolfi is, and what people have found out about him. He briefed the Senate Intelligence Committee on what he had found in 1995 about Hughes' review of the explosion of a Long March rocket in January 1995. The CIA then allegedly alerted Hughes about Pandolfi's briefing. Reportedly, according to an internal CIA cable dated September 23, 1998. A committee then asked Attorney General Janet Reno for a criminal investigation into whether the CIA improperly obstructed a Senate investigation. Wouldn't be the first time. Anyway, so we see actual legitimate notes of Pandolfi being involved in these things. By 1999, Pandolfi, which was already known for his involvement with the controversial investigations of the CIA, was receiving attention for his interest in alternative topics, aka UFOs. And this would enter Dan Smith. Okay, Dan Smith's claim was that his father, Dan Throp Smith, a renowned Harvard economist, served as the Treasury Department's top tax advisor during the Eisenhower administration. Now, according to the Washington Post, his older sister, Deborah, a friend of President George H.W. Bush, at least according to the White House, he had some information having to do with the books. Let's just call it the books. Dan Smith had been involved in a hot discussion with a private email discussion group. Smith was trying to convince the group that his interactions with Pandolfi were evidence of the CIA's interest in all things paranormal. Okay, now hold up a moment. A lot of people are going to throw shade at anybody whose name I've mentioned. I would like to clarify that these are the people on the fringes of science who are pushing the envelope. These are the people we need. And, you know, all of the investors, the managers, the scientists, this is good stuff. So all of the individuals I've mentioned, I would want to make clear that I'm 100% behind them. In fact, I had a friend who recently talked. I won't put his name out there. I'll keep that a secret for now. But he recently talked to Brandon Fugel and said 100% that he is a man of his word. He's doing everything he can to push the envelope, find out more about disclosure, you know, find out the other things that are with us here in the universe. So for what it's worth, 100%, I would say that, yeah, these are the type of people we need pushing the envelope, going as far as they can to find things out. My support is with them. I am shocked with some of the claims coming out and, you know, people targeting each other. And let's get into that. There's been some serious targeting back and forth between Rick Doty and Ron Pandolfi. These are two legendary, as far as status, legendary people in ufology. We're talking about government connections out the wazoo in both individuals. I have never had the opportunity to speak with Pandolfi. However, I have had the opportunity to speak with Rick Doty multiple times. I trust Rick Doty. Now, that being said, keep in mind that he was, in fact, in the information business. Information, disinformation, misinformation. Quite literally, the OSI, the AFOSI, Air Force Office of Special Investigations. The guy's doing his job. Same as Lou Elizondo has done his job. And what's interesting is, Lou Elizondo, who I have also met, does not get nearly the percentage of hate that Rick Doty has gotten, yet they quite literally have the same job description and are in the same business of information. I think that's a little bit unfair. Both, in my opinion, are patriots. They work for their country. They do what's required of them. That is their capacity and why they are hired to do what they do. So we have an interesting dilemma now. We have Rick Doty versus, for all intents and purposes, Ron Pandolfi. These guys are throwing shade at each other, and it seems as if the ufology community is up in arms going back and forth on who they support and who they don't support. My opinion would be to steer clear of this, because why would you throw your hat in the ring? You know, you can support who you want, but you don't have to attack the other individual. We are talking about a very interesting scenario. You know, we've got an anti-gravity lawsuit. We have SEC interviews. We have the CIA involved. We have former OSI involved. We have a lot of interesting people involved. And, you know, there's a reason these people are interesting. It's interesting subject matter. Now, when it comes to intelligence and intelligence files, it seems to me that we need to take all of this into consideration and we need to treat it all very seriously. In the intelligence world, we have what's known as flypaper theory. That is, you know, flypaper, you know what catches flies. And this would be what I believe is taking place now. Don't let yourself get caught on the flypaper. Flypaper can come in many forms. UFOs, the paranormal. And you don't want to get stuck on it. You don't want to be one of the flies on the flypaper. We have other people who have weighed in, among those, Dr. Jack Sarfati. He's a physicist based in San Francisco. He's weighed in the past. I think we have a lot of important people in intelligence. And these are people who testify and they talk about important technology. They have expertise. So we need to be careful. You know, well, there's one thing, which is, you know, the society of ufology and social media. And there's an entirely different situation, which is the very real community within the DIA, the CIA, the OSI, the government itself, where messages are being sent back and forth. And this is at the highest levels. We have people who are interested in alleged UFO phenomena. We have a National Security Council, and we should let them clearly deal with this interesting funhouse of mirrors which we find ourselves in at this point. Definitely keep your pulse, keep the pulse of what's taking place with this recent mudslinging in the UFO community. I think it's important to keep, you know, a pulse of what's going on, but we don't have to get involved. I know I'm not going to get involved. And the same is true with a lot of things. I've found a lot of things are like this. When it hits the fan, you know, usually the truth is somewhere in the middle. I'm not picking any sides right now. I've really enjoyed my conversations with Rick Doty in the past. I wish I could say that I've spoken with Ron Pandolfi, and I will try. And I'll have full disclosure if I do talk to Ron. But, yeah, there's some interesting stuff taking place. So we have to ask ourselves, you know, people attack each other in ufology quite often. We have the attacks against the former late great John Lear. I loved talking to John. We talked all kinds of things about Groom Lake, UFOs, Bob Lazar, flying saucers. And I believed what he told me. I don't think he was lying. I've talked with George Knapp. Same story. I believe 100% what he's told me. I don't think he's lying. So when people come and say, well, you know, you can't believe anything John Lear said. You can't believe anything anybody says. I disagree. You have to realize that we're all human beings talking about a very unhuman potentiality. We're talking about things that are absolutely wild. And when you talk about things that are absolutely wild, it's very easy to get caught in the mire, to get stuck in the weeds, right? And disclosure, in my opinion, is important to the UFO community. But we can't have full disclosure. I don't believe the citizenry, civilians, I don't believe they can handle it. I'm just going to be completely honest. I don't believe they can handle it. And there's a lot of reasons for this. Now, the same is true of a lot of the stuff coming out of Salt Lake City, Happy Valley, areas around Utah when it comes to SRA. You guys know I've delved into SRA, the sexual ritual abuse, some claim satanic ritual abuse, allegations all over the place in the land of Zion. And you have to ask yourself, you know, the same is true because I see people that just won't deal with it. They won't look at it. And they seem to ignore it completely, even when they have people confessing when they're interviewed of, you know, things that are very serious. So why are people, when it hits the fan, why are people unwilling to look at this type of stuff? Now, there is a interesting memoir from a detective, Mike King. It was called Deceived. It's a memoir of Detective Mike King. It was in a 1991 investigation, which ultimately took down a deviant polygamous cult called the Zion Society. There were a bunch of atrocities that this cult was engaged with. Many of these would not have been discovered if not for the courage of one of its members. Like I said, confessions, right? Now, what's interesting about this is we're talking almost 30 years later, right? And victims reconnected with each other and with the lead investigator to talk about the criminal justice system regarding child victims. And you can find this. You got to get a copy of this, guys, if you're at all interested in this. You can get it through Amazon. It's called Deceived, an investigative memoir of the Zion Society cult by Michael R. King. You want to read this book. It's super compelling. And it's a difficult read. But the truth is, it brings me to kind of the same realization that when it comes to certain topics, people don't want to hear the truth. It's like they have a threshold level, right? Once they get to that threshold, they're like, I'm out. And I feel it's the same in ufology and disclosure and a lot of this stuff. The average civilian or citizen, in my opinion, could not handle the truth with a capital T about disclosure. I don't think we'll ever get full disclosure. I don't think we'll ever get the reality of what's going down with cults all over the country, but, you know, specifically in Utah. And keep in mind that there are what are called sister cults or sister councils. These are cults which participate in some of the most repugnant crimes against children and even women which have ever been seen in the state of Utah. I've been going down this dark rabbit hole for a while, and it's pretty brutal stuff. We're going to have to embark on some other podcasts relaying information about this, because we're just too far into this one. Let's stick to the UFO topic. This other stuff gets real dark real quick. But I find that there is this threshold with the average person where they just can't or won't hear any more about it. Why? Well, it just is what it is, right? They don't want to hear any more. It's enough. Enough is enough. Okay, so in other interesting kind of switching gears, because I'll go down this dark, slippery slope quick. In other interesting news, shockingly, a lot of people are not okay with Trump staying on the ballot, but too bad, so sad. The Supreme Court has ruled on Trump, and it looks like Trump will, in fact, stay on the ballot. I think it was 9-0, you know, the whole deal. And what's so hilarious is a lot of people can't handle it. They just can't handle it. I'm not going to get political. It's none of my business. But the bottom line is he's staying on. And the Supreme Court says so. So what does this mean? Well, I think it means that this is a reality, a potential, the possibility that we will have Trump back in the White House, at least potentially. You know, if he's on the ballot, there's a reason. And let's talk Tesla now, because we know that a lot of people have accused and attacked Elon Musk of Tesla for being too conservative with X, formerly Twitter. And hey, I'm one of those guys who I jumped onto the Elon train, if you want to call it that. I got into the Tesla stock bubble and X, whatever you want to call it. But basically, there's some issues. The Twitter acquisition deal has hurt stock. I mean, and Tesla's stock has fallen apart to, you know, a certain degree. So Elon has used Tesla, and you can't blame him for it, but he's used it as a piggy bank to finance other projects. Of course, Tesla is a winning scenario. A lot of people have bet against it and bet against it unsuccessfully, I might add. But anyway, we have Tesla, whose shares have been dropping. And they've been dropping pretty, you know, like I said, I own it. It sucks. I'm down. A lot of people are down. And the fact is, there is some talk about, well, things being great and Tesla's going to bounce back. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be the case. But what do people think of the Cybertruck? We have an issue here because this is the one thing that could have saved Tesla, according to some. And it's an interesting device. I kind of consider the Cybertruck a tool more than a vehicle. Something you can plug into, you can charge other EVs with. I plan on either utilizing one of somebody I know that is possibly going to bring it out to research with it, because, you know, you can plug everything into this thing. It's a mobile unit. It's all-wheel drive. It goes everywhere. It does everything. And you can plug all kinds of amazing equipment in it, and I plan to use that at Space Wolf Research. Now, that is something I plan on, but again, it's a tool, not a car. So if it's a tool, not a car, it's bulletproof, of course. That's cool. Apparently it rusts. That's not cool. But it has, you know, this potentiality to have all of this massive battery system, a mobile battery system that you can run around properties and utilize in areas where otherwise you'd have to run around with like a very loud generator, which is what I've done in the past. It opens up a whole bunch of potentiality, more options, more possibilities from a research perspective. It's like having a Mars rover here that you can use for research, which is really cool. But is it going to save Tesla stock? I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure, because unfortunately, when you're a shareholder of a company that's been used as a bit of a piggy bank for other projects, well, who are you kidding? You know, you can't do that forever. So we're going to have to see. Is Tesla dead? Are EVs over? What's going to happen? This is a big question because some people have said, you know, EVs are over. We have Apple allegedly pulling out of the EV business altogether. We have Ford allegedly pulling out of the EV business altogether. We have Hertz rental car company getting rid of its line of EVs. There's a lot of people jumping ship. I guess the truth will remain to be seen. Only time will tell. And I got to wrap it up. I got to go and visit my dog who I've been paying out the nose to keep on basically life support. We're going to have to bring him home and try some holistic stuff. I think the wife is coming around to that idea. I've got some ideas. If anybody has ideas, shoot them to me and mention it in the comments. He basically just won't eat. His intestines and stomach, he's an 8-9-year-old dog, and he just, his intestines and stomach, he won't accept food. We don't know why. He still drinks water. We've had a surgery on him. We checked him out inside. There's nothing wrong inside. But he's basically been for the, you know, 9 days now, 10 days. He's been without food, and he won't eat food. So if anybody's got any great ideas, feel free to shoot them to me either through the DMs of social media. You can DM me through Space Wolf Research on Facebook or Instagram. Or you can DM me through Hero Paranormal on Facebook or Instagram. Or you can just leave, you know, any ideas in the comments or the comments section if you're an expert on dogs. Because it looks like we're going to lose the guy and it's a bummer. But we can't continue to pay because the money has run out. We're tapped out, you know. At $1,300 a day, that adds up real quick. So, anyway, it's kind of like back to the drawing board, right? Unfortunate, but hopefully we can bring him back. Time will tell. Time will tell. And ultimately, you know, mankind has tried to control death for as long as people can remember. And it seems like even with a bunch of money, you can't do it. We have, of course, Mr. Rothschild, who recently passed away this month, 226. He passed away on 226. And this brings me to something that's very interesting as well, which is 226. What does that numerology involve? Well, there's some interesting numerology when it comes to that. Specifically, the fact that he died after the last interesting cosmic event. Now, there is something known as, let me back up. There is something known as the 17 eclipse. This is 17 months before Rothschild died. Elon posted hashtag burnt hair. This is interesting. And he posted it next to a character that looked a lot like Rothschild. Okay. So 10,911 days before Rothschild died, The Simpsons aired Burns Hair, like air, like H-E-I-R. Burnt hair, Burns hair. Now, this is something near and dear to me because, of course, my last name is Burns. I love Mr. Burns on The Simpsons. I think he's a riot. Of course, he is based on Jacob, Lord Jacob Rothschild. So Mr. Burns on The Simpsons is a character that was based in part on Lord Jacob Rothschild. Now, this is where things get really crazy. As far as this 17 eclipse, Lord Jacob Rothschild passed away exactly 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days after it. So how does this all tie together? Well, one thing is for sure, we've lost one of the elites. One of the elites who, at least in passing, I tip my hat because one of my favorite Simpsons characters, Mr. Burns, is in some way made after Lord Jacob Rothschild. So the apparent heir to the Rothschild fortune is David Rothschild. And he is quite literally an environmentalist. A lot of people have been really happy about that. And hey, I'm all for environmentalism, but let's keep in mind that many of these world superclass and power elites are in fact environmentalists. And when you read between the lines, this can also mean that they're somewhat, you know, they see humanity as the problem, right? When you're an environmentalist, humans start to be the problem. And you get to enter the arena of eugenicists, you know, population control, etc., and the like. So let's keep that in mind as we move forward. But we lost one of the great Rothschilds 8 days ago. He died 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days after the 17 eclipse. That, of course, is 666. Thanks for listening, guys. If you haven't had a chance to go over to heroparanormal.com, please check it out. Ton of content over there. I went into a super deep dive on some of these topics yesterday on the patron version. And yeah, all kinds of products at heroparanormal.com in the shop section. I've added stuff like t-shirts that many have been asking for. I'm adding more as we go. And if you're interested in purchasing a great product, it was my marriage wedding anniversary yesterday. So I've got to do a shout out to my wife who created, invented, and engineered a product known as Spice Natural Bronze. You can purchase that. It will support the podcast. Go to happinessmedical.com and pick yourself up a tube of that Spice Natural Bronze. Again, you can buy that at happinessmedical.com. And shout out to my wife who invented it, engineered it, brought it to market, the whole enchilada. She's the brains in the operation. It was our wedding anniversary yesterday, so I got to do the shout out. And every tube of that Spice Natural Bronze that you purchase at happinessmedical.com helps support the podcast in a tangible way. So there you have it. Also, if you're listening via YouTube, do me the solid to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. Although I will most likely never be monetized for a variety of reasons, including the truth and the topics I cover. If you like, share, and subscribe, it'll help me break through the algorithm of control. The shadow ban is real. Till next time, keep your eyes to the skies, feet on the ground, but don't forget to take a look around.
Eyes. Follow me with your shape-shifting smiles and I see you. Maybe they'll believe you. Illuminati occult dawn trap, silver discs and hidden files and we see you. You've got to believe.